So, we had a few objectives in this particular trip this year. As always, the probably the main goal was to for John and myself to speak at the Path of Life Ministries Leadership Conference. And this is the second one that we've done under Evans. But probably the one we were most looking forward to was visiting the school. And so I've got quite a few video clips and things of the school. We also wanted to see Evans's house, see how that had been progressing, because we went out last October and we showed photographs, and I think over the last few months you've seen a rapid change in that house. But we also there was a couple of extra ones that we put in there to visit Chinwenwe One, the children's home, the orphanage, and also to visit the school. We took lots of stuff out with us, so we'll come on to all of this. So just to remind people where it all is. Down there is where we had to go from up there, which is the UK. There's Heathrow Airport, is that right-hand star. As you remember from last year, we had the very, very last British Airways flight, direct flight out of Lusaka, and they sprayed us with water from their fire engine. So this time we couldn't go direct, so we had to go that way via Kenya, and we stopped in Nairobi, which was fine on the way out, on the way to Lusaka, but on the way back we had a 7-hour gap between flights, so stuck in Nairobi Airport for 7 hours is an interesting experience, but I won't say much more about that. The journey is that blue line there, where we had to travel by road from Lusaka all the way up to Solwezi. And if anyone has ever been out to Zambia, you'll know what the Zambian roads are like. And I don't know how Kim and Linda found the experience, because we've often talked about how bad the roads are, but I think you have to experience them truly to know what they are really like, because the potholes are very serious. Fortunately, we had a wonderful car like that. That isn't the actual one. I didn't, unfortunately, I forgot to take a photograph of the actual car as we picked it up, but it was a nice, pristine, beautiful, white, clean Ford Ranger, just like that one. And it is just like that, with a bit on the top. We didn't know we were having the bit on the top at first, but John managed to arrange that. That's what the car looked like by the time we got to Solwezi. A little bit worse for wear, but we really did need that vehicle. The roads were probably the worst I've ever known them, and so we were very fortunate to have a car like that, because I think an ordinary car would have almost certainly been grounded several times because the roads were so bad. Okay, into the first thing we did, which was the conference. As I said, it was the second annual conference that Evans has run for Path of Life Ministries, and a lot more in attendance this year. We probably had about 200 people, that included ladies, to about 200 people in the conference. John talked about the priorities of the kingdom. Some of those things I think you've heard. I think there may be one or two that you haven't preached here in Bristol yet. But that was really exciting. And I did the story of Noah. Sorry, it's a little bit blurred, but I didn't take that one. The interesting thing about this picture, I mean, this is Edward here, who's our interpreter, and he's lovely. But he really, it's like synchronized swimming, really. Wherever you walk, he walks. Whatever you do, he does, And I was, at one point, I was graphically talking about the story of Jonah, and and how they were in the storm, and I was sway this way, sway that. And he was just behind me, sway this way, sway that. So it's really funny how the interpreters really get engrossed in the message, which is really good. I think probably what made a big difference this year, of course, was having Linda and Kim with us, and they gave us special seats. I don't know whether they gave us special seats because Linda and Kim were there. We've never had special seats before, I don't think.
When you're in a 3-hour meeting and you're sitting on hard plastic chairs, but these things, really nice.
The women in the church were just massively, massively blessed by Linda and Kim being there. I think it really, you can't underestimate, it's easy to underestimate how, the value and impact Linda and Kim had. They spend two full afternoons getting all this stuff ready. This is a lot of the stuff that, you know, you've contributed, and we filled our cases with to give to the ladies. I don't know whether Lynn or Kim, you want to say anything about, you know, how that all worked out and how you felt about the ladies' response. One of you?
Well, it was a real, real blessing. I mean, it was hard work for us to pull all those bags together, but we managed to make up 110 sets of all the toiletries, and they were really nice packages when they'd done, and all the labels. And so, again, thank you to everybody who contributed. And the scarves were bought by the church, and when we did give them out, on the day we gave them out, it was just amazing, wasn't it, Lynn, that, you know, they were so bowled over. And the leaders' wives at the church, they were bowled over by it as well. But I don't think they're used to receiving such pretty gifts. And so that was a real blessing to all of them. And we made them up with all the toiletries and a few sweets in there as well. So that was back-breaking work for two afternoons. But that was okay because the men were off preaching at that time. But, yeah, it was a real blessing to them.
I think we probably can never estimate or even think about the impact that your gifts are for these people, because they don't have anything at all, and just seeing their faces as the gifts were given out, and Maureen, Evan's wife, and one of her leaders helped us. But what happened was, I don't know if I'm going to pinch Richard's team or not, but at the end of the meeting, everybody is prayed for by John and Richard, and they decided that the best way to give the gifts to the ladies was for them to all line up to be prayed for and then come on and get a gift. And I kept looking at Kim and Maureen saying, are we going to have enough? Because the queue just never stopped. But what had actually happened is strange there, but as soon as you give anything, word gets out to the community. So all these ladies were coming in from the local community who never came to the church, joining the queue and getting prayed for. And I've never seen such poor women in all my life. Literally, what they had on was what they had. And one of the ladies that was helping us, one of the leaders, she said, she was saying to them, well, perhaps you'll come to church now. But one of the key things that will always stay with me is that you were able to give the church a way of reaching to the community in, you know, touching their hearts and their needs first before their spiritual needs. And the church, the ladies in the church felt this, that it would perhaps give them an opening to these ladies because they were able to give them something which they didn't have to give. So I can't tell you how grateful they are. It would never put it into words. So thank you.
Yeah, I haven't got a picture actually of us praying over everybody, but as Linda said, you know, John and I had to pray over everybody. I mean, literally everybody in the church, and it can actually be quite disheartening because you think you're getting somewhere, and you look up, the queue is longer and longer and longer, and all the time you're praying over people, and it's quite tiring, but a real blessing to them, I'm sure. Of course, having the women around, you want to see the state of the kitchen. And so this is the kitchen, and this interesting white stuff here, that's nshima, and when you see it spelled there, nshima, which is one of their main food that Evans, you know, always had nshima with his steak and things like this, and he gets a big lump like that, you know, sort of squashes it into a ball and soaks it into his gravy and sauce, and then eats it. So it's like wallpaper paste, but. So that was the kitchen, and you know, the women worked really hard, blessing everybody who was attending the conference. On the Sunday, the children were outside at Sunday school, and there's Edward again. He was teaching them some scripture, and this is how they did it. Do you think they've got it yet? 3, 2. Okay. Okay, so let's move on to the school. There is the actual classroom with the children. Some of them you'll recognise from the photographs. This was a really, rewarding experience to visit the school. Let's go straight in and see them singing. This is actually just the younger of the children. The older children were in another area of the building. How beautiful their uniforms. They really insist that all the children come in full uniform. La la la, can't remember the words. She's one of their teachers. Well, so that's two teachers you see now. So it's great they got a male teacher as well as a female teacher.
And they teach them in English.
Yeah.
The girl on the right is an albino African. They have about a 40% cancer rate for albino children. And sadly, I learned after we got back, is that we had all... I suddenly thought, why didn't we leave all our suntan cream behind? I didn't think of it at the time, giving it to Maureen, because it would have no protection, you see. And at the moment, it's quite reasonably cool out in Africa. We took about 28, but in... top summer, you're in mid-30s, 40s, and their skin has no protection from the sun. So I don't know if anyone sponsors that little girl in here. Yeah, well, it's really worth praying for, and I really am. I just woke up, I think, in the morning. I thought, why didn't we leave out all our sun cream? Because we didn't need it, and probably helped her. But it's to pray for her, really, because she's very vulnerable.
In fact, we actually talked about that yesterday, didn't we, Pete? So I think we'll try and sort that out, yeah. So there are probably about 30 of the 50 original children in the school. So there were about 50 photographs on our website. Those are the children who were originally registered, or parents registered their interests. But as often happens in these things, they've started the school, and 20 of the children haven't actually been able to locate. They are still trying to locate them, and it is their hope that all the 50 original children who wanted to attend the school will be able to. Attend the school, but as you can imagine, there's no shortage of children wanting to join. Here are four children just sat there, and they sat there literally for the entire time we were there. It's amazing. They just sat there, patient and quiet and content, and they're waiting to be assessed as to whether they can join the school and what whereabout they would fit within the school. So we need to really pray that these kind of things can get sorted out quickly. Things we take for granted, ever so important, hygiene, and washing hands is a real key. And let's have a watch them washing their hands there. So just for the mic, that's Maureen's mother who was helping them wash their hands there. And he's got a cute little smile there. And whilst we were looking at the school, we also looked around the houses that were surrounding the school. So this is the village where most of the children actually, if not all, come from. And, this building here, small brick building, that's typically the kind of houses these people live in. And you can have a lot of people in just a small house like that. So by comparison, we live in palaces. We really do. That their lives are very very basic indeed.
Might be just important to point out there that is not, there are five demographic areas in Zambia, from your wealthy politicians down to your absolute poverty-stricken people. This would be about demographic three. Okay, so you've got below that two other areas, of which the worst you'll find are those that use plastic bags, dustbin bags, bits of cardboard, which they will build into a sort of some sort of shelter. And you'll have quite large, many acres of these sorts of properties. There's no sewage facilities, there's no toilets, there's probably little running water. And in fact, when we were working with Fountain of Life, the community behind them, which is when we actually remember years ago, we put an artesian well in for them. It was to service a community like this. I don't know why they have these brick houses here for these women, because there are no men that live in this community. But they are still quite reasonably good homes by standards of the lower levels of Zambian life. Worth remembering that Zambia is the fourth poorest country in the world.
So there's the school, there's all the children with a few hangers-on who aren't in uniform. There always seem to be a few who just want to get into the photograph. You can see the teachers at the top. And so we had a great time, but really there is a lot more still to do. It's early stages. It only started up in March. They've still got to get all their sort of school charter and documents and all things sorted out in order that the school can be protected legally. We've got to sort out food and meals and things, but it's started. They're teaching, they're assessing, and it's fantastic to see the difference already we're making to just a handful of children who are in need. Okay, so let's move on to the third topic, which was Evans's house, which is there it is. How well is it doing? Well, it's doing very well. When we went out in October, there were just foundations there. We didn't go up to Solwezi in October. But when John and I went out in a year ago, this time last year, this was just foundations. And so in 1 year, Evans has done a fantastic job.
Can you just notice the brown marking along there? That's where the water rose to. This is a problem of flooding in Solwezi, but he's actually, you can't see them very well, but he's actually now brought water runways to prevent that happening. Like done, although the house looks good, what he's done outside of the house is remarkable. There's quite a few acres, and how he's built in anti-flooding systems and things like that, which really, he's done extremely well.
So we're just flicking through the rooms here, I thought I'd just give you an impression. What it looks like, there's no electricity as such yet. They do have a generator and solar cells and things. That's the master bedroom, and we're still working on the toilets and bathroom. Not they have running water yet. They still have to use bottled water because of the lack of a proper well. And these are all the bedrooms. I think there's about five bedrooms or something like that. This is a hen house. Unfortunately, all their hens were stolen. So they've got a guard dog now, and that's Babby. Babby, the guard dog. I think it needs to grow a little bit before... That's the well, but it's not really a working well. The soil's too soft. And that's been brought us back to the beginning.
Can you pause that a second, Rich? That well, just to let you know, we'll need to bore down into that well in order to hit the water table. So then the pressure at the water table drives water in, which will be able to work all their toilets. At the moment, they have no pressure water in the house, so they have to get their water in the river or bring bottled water in. But our aim will be to build a small artesian, with a tank at the top, which then... and I've asked Evans to let me know how much that individual piece of work will cost, as distinct from anything else, because water is pretty much a priority at the moment. Mm. Thanks, Rick.
That's okay. And then we have all of Evans' family stood outside their house. Okay, on to the next topic, which was visiting Chinwemwe, the children's home. So this was the first children's home that was set up. When was that set up, can you remember?
We observed it in about 98 when I was out there. And quite a remarkable experience, this, because I went out in 98 with a guy called Richard Bartrop, and we went to see this piece of land. It's a small piece of land, a walled compound piece of land with nothing built. And at that week, those weeks I was there, we decided to purchase this as the first children's home. What you now see is the front living room, and all that paintwork at the back has been done by our building teams. But I would say 99% of all the work
on that property has been done by what was Bristol Community Church's building teams, which was governed by Bob. Sadly, nothing has been done over the last few years, so that remains the decoration that we did all those years ago. But the quality of work was good, so I actually still look quite good in there. Thanks, Rich.
So there are no children now in Chinwemwe. All the children that were originally there from the start have obviously all grown up and moved on. So Ramsay and Margaret are there on their own. They're going to be retiring in June, July time, and then going back home, which is in Kitwe, which is one of the little towns that we drive through when we go from Lusaka up to Solwezi. It was amazing that we were there. John really felt stirred in his spirit that we needed to visit them, and this probably, you know, will be the last visit to that home, and possibly the last time we'll see Ramson and Margaret. So and there they are, stood outside the house. They were just so blessed that we visited them, and we gave them some drinks and biscuits and some a gift of money just to help them and bless them. They've given so much, or they've given their lives to parenting those orphans. They really have, and we just pray that God will now bless them in their old age. Sorry, the question was, what happens to the orphanage now?
I think it's difficult to say, really. I was quite disappointed by its condition. It was being neglected. You can't see them on the photographs, but there were old cars that had been parked in the ground, trees that had planted had fallen down, outbuildings which once contained chickens and various other storage items had all been overgrown. And I felt sorry for Ramson and for Meg, because I sort of felt they'd been rather left, which was even more important that we felt by God that we should go and visit them, because I had no idea they were still alive, let alone still living there. And the very fact we went and bought food and drink and stuff for them was really an act of faith rather than... But when we found them there on their own, and we were able to pray for them and really end... Because I was probably... The guy that I was with now died, so I was there probably the earliest person. But I also felt... from my position, I could pray over them and pray them out, really, because I'm not sure anything that had been done. And when I asked them about who were they in touch with, or who, they didn't seem to really have any idea. They didn't really know what was going on, only that their contract would end. And I felt disappointed by that. I felt this is not how it should be. And I have a feeling that's what God felt too, which is why he sent us. Because I mentioned before, I could easily have not, I may look fit and healthy there, but I was actually... not wishing to be more than about 3 meters away from the nearest loo. So I was managing a pretty hefty bout of what's known in the trade as the Richard Penskers. And and it would have been easy not to go out, really, really easy not to go out. And I needed to go because I was the only one that knew how to get here. But when we came and we got back in the car, there was like a tingle down your spine as you felt it was the absolute right thing to do. And I felt God wanted us to tidy up. And I felt if we went all that way with the expense and the travelling and everything else, for that one reason, I could have felt content with that one reason. Because I don't think we realise how... You know, small things matter to God and people. You know, these are really ordinary African people that have served for 12, 14 years. And let me just say, all the children that we took off the streets 12 years ago have all grown up into really good functioning adults. Let me say this, they were abused. I mean, these kids we picked up, 7, 8-year-olds, they were abused. Now, I don't want to go into details. So not only have they come through their abuse, which might be something that English people need to learn about, and come to terms with what's done with them, but they actually turned their lives around and have made something really... They're not living in the past all the time. They can recreate their lives, but much by the power of God. Ramsay and Maggie are Seventh-day Adventists, but they're very strong Christians. They brought that Christian emphasis into their home and all their kids, probably with the exception of one girl, and she's not completely... disaster area, but on the whole, they've done extremely well, and those children would be dead now, would have been dead years ago, had it not been for this home, you know. So I think God saw a small thing, a couple that probably not too many people would know about, but important to God.
Thanks, John. Okay, finally, the last thing we did was when we got back to Lusaka, which we travelled back on Lusaka, to Lusaka on the Tuesday. We had one day free out of the whole 2 weeks, which is the Wednesday, and on Thursday we visited the church in Lusaka, And the guy standing next to John, that's Pastor Joseph. He's the senior elder of the Lusaka Church, and they come under Evan's leadership. Okay, and we had a great time there, and John shared about the importance of growing up in God and the importance of discernment, which was really, really excellent. And we were given, as always, African attire. But of course, the girls were given African attire also. So that's all of us. That's all of us dressed up. Yeah. Well, John did have to have his taken out because it didn't fit him at first. So the other one taking it in, yeah. So I finished with just some of their normal worship. It's just a few minutes of worship just to finish this off.
Why he's not in yellow? Yeah. No, he's talking about that.
So some of the songs are in English and we can join in. Often it's not in English, so I tended to just sing in tongues just to participate really in the worship. See how they really enter in their own individual way. So some are dancing and shouting, others are sitting quietly, but they are all really connected into the worship. No passiveness here. The guy just standing up there is Akeem. We used to meet him back in the BCC days. This is them now. This is a time where they're responding to the word after it's been preached, and they're really just praying to God.
Evans, by the way, I think you probably recognise him.
So that's Maureen there singing. That's Evans' wife. So we'll have some dancing lessons later, I think.
Very infectious when you're there.
The one that was singing there. The one just to the right, that's Evan's wife. Don't they just look cool?
No pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it, folks. So I think what we'll do now is we'll take a break. I'll put all the other photos up while we're having a break, and I'll also do it after lunch. But I think it'd be good just to stop now and sort of stretch your legs a little bit. And then what time is it now? Perhaps around about 12 o'clock we'll come back and John will share, and I think David has something arranged for the children.